Hi, I'm your host, Anthony Giorgio, and you're listening to another episode of QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. Super excited about this episode because I am with my friends James and Jace, and this is the first ever Queer Teen Podcast Unplugged, sitting on my couch talking about a lot of stuff in the queer community. Some of it's explicit, so just be warned, and if you don't like it, fast forward. All right, enjoy Queer Teen Podcast Unplugged. And we're talking with some folks that are my friends, and we're just having a conversation specifically about, you know, anything we want to talk about, queer stuff particularly, you know, if that tickles your fancy. And if not, it doesn't matter. James. Do you call you Jimmy?
My grandpa went by Jim. My old rugby coach used to call me Jimmy and Jamie, and it always kind of rubbed me. Which always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So, I kind of have chosen to just stick to James.
I'm the same way with Anthony. When people are like Tony, I'm like, nah.
Yeah, just full name.
No, I am full on Anthony. That's my name.
Is James short for anything, or is it?
No.
I guess that's the nickname of James is Jimmy. I never heard anyone call anybody Jimmy.
Yeah. I guess it was just a British
thing.
James
is like a whole other thing, because like, James is like J-A-M-I-E.
Yeah. It must have just been a British thing. I don't know, but a lot of people went by Jamie.
What's your back? Is that where you are?
That's where I was born. My parents are American, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wait. Your parents are American, but you were born there. So who? Why?
My dad traveled a lot growing up.
Military?
Oil patch. He worked for an oil company. He's a geophysicist.
Cool.
Long story, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's cool. So you were born there. Did you live there for a while?
I lived there for about a year, and then had to move, and we went to Holland for about a year.
Oh, cool.
But I went back to England later on in life for about 5 years, and I spent a good time in school there.
Oh, it's so nice there.
I loved it, but at the same time, it was a difficult situation. Just being kind of an expat in a private British school background, it was very posh, very proper. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of had to change myself a lot when I was there. And
did you gain an accent?
I did, yeah, because I was very young at the time.
Yeah.
It comes through a little bit sometimes.
Sometimes I say stuff kind of weirdly, like I might say yogurt, not yogurt.
Yogurt?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard anyone.
Really?
Or
like vitamins as opposed to vitamins.
I get that.
Just like small stuff, yeah. I still agree with the aluminium thing. I think aluminum sounds weird.
Aluminum? I can't say aluminium.
Aluminium?
Aluminum.
Aluminum.
I don't know. But it's a good country, definitely.
No, it is. I mean, we spend time in London and we love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a great... There's something different about the Europe in general. Across the board is like, in ways, really much better.
Yeah.
It just is. America's cool. And then where you're originally from?
Romania.
And you haven't been back?
I haven't been back. Wanted to go back before I was 18, but that just never kind of fit into the schedule.
Now, even though you're from there, you were born there.
I was born
but there. You have like, are you dual? Do you have?
I have a Romanian birth certificate that's still. Like female, and when
okay.
I didn't have a birth certificate that was English,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know how that all worked.
My
like legal documents and everything said no.
Now,
because
you changed them all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you can do that.
Right.
What is the law in Pennsylvania? Because it's cool in Jersey, but I don't know what it is in Pennsylvania.
Jersey's a lot more chill about like underage laws. For like a lot of things. Pennsylvania, I had to write a letter to the state and get my name published in a newspaper. I even wrote like a letter to the court and was like, yo, you want to not let me do that? Because I'm like 14.
Huh.
And they were like, nope.
Wait, why would it have to be published in a paper?
For people that are, like, running away with their other children.
Oh, okay. Okay, fair enough.
You know?
When did you get your name? So that's when you, for 14, you started to legally change everything? Well,
yeah.
Legally, according to the way that Pennsylvania does it.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is across the board. Birth certificate.
Birth certificate is still Romanian.
Still Romanian.
Still Romanian, still female.
So what, but what do you have here, though?
My passport says male, my driver's license says male, my name is legally changed.
So you just a birth certificate over in Romania somewhere?
We have it, or a copy of it, or maybe it, I don't know.
Right. How did you ever get that changed? Because it's from Romania. How does, you, does it matter?
When I first got adopted, my mom legally changed my Romanian name to a different female name. And so I think just me coming across the border made me an American citizen.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's off the parents, right?
Well, yeah, and you're below 18, I think it's different. Like, if you're under 18. Yeah, so I think it's something I think you can do with that, though. Like, if you wanted to have dual citizenship, you're allowed, you were allowed to for a certain age.
Maybe. I mean, I think it's like 16 or 17. Yeah. I was, like, completely coming over here.
Yeah. Yeah, I have friends that have triples. Some people have, like, they have, like, three passports.
I know a few people.
Like, one's the UK, one's Italy, and one's America. Born in the UK, parents are from Italy, and raised in America. And they speak fluent Italian.
Some people, like, are lucky like that.
I mean, yeah, that's, like, cool. It seems like you've traveled a lot, too.
Like, I have, more or less every 4 or 5 years I moved, and less sometimes.
I mean, is that good for your psyche?
Definitely not. It gives you an interesting view of the world, but it leaves you kind of mosaic, does that make sense? And that, like, your identity is not really founded on it or based upon anything.
What do you identify as?
I'm still figuring that out, honestly. I still have a lot of questions with that. My sibling is very helpful with to talk to you about that. I still kind of daily find myself feeling certain feelings toward certain people and kind of questioning that and not quite sure how to define that yet. But I think that is largely based to moving around so much and never really kind of creating my identity. I feel like I've, now that I've kind of am on my own and I'm kind of starting my own life separate from my family's, I'm trying to stay in a certain, in a fixed place and just kind of base myself and find myself, I guess, as opposed to then reset again and move somewhere else and then have to fit in again, you know?
Are you exploring that?
I'm trying to, yes. It's tough when you're trying to pay the bills and, you know, and still stay sane and happy, but as much as I can, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I guess, I mean, that's like, I know people that take their kids, that, and then this one woman I met, she has a daughter, and they do work in, like, orphanages around the world.
Okay.
But the daughter carries this doll, sounds really weird, but she has this doll, and the doll, like, is, like, a through line to their story on, like, social media. Like, I look at the doll more than I look at them. And it's always, I'm wondering, like, when she'll stop that with her daughter. Because her daughter's still young enough, like, that she doesn't really go to school. Like, she doesn't have to go to school yet.
Okay.
Or, I think she's starting to go to school now. But, and you don't have to, like, you can get homeschooled. They have all these programs.
Oh, yeah.
You can go online. You don't literally have to be in one spot. Huh?
I did the last, like, 3 years of high school.
Online. Really?
Yeah, you don't have to go to school. You can just go online and take your classes and call it a day.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And anyway,
I did not know that.
Yeah, I spent the last 3 years in my bedroom.
Wow.
Just in your bedroom, you didn't go anywhere?
Nope, didn't leave
you
once.
You peed in your bedroom, ate in your bedroom.
I mean, I ate in my bedroom, peed out the window. No. My room's right next to the bathroom.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd have the willpower to do school online.
It sucked. I was just kind of alone for 3 years. I mean, I liked that part, but it also meant I was home alone with my mom for 3 years.
Well, being alone's okay. I get it. My husband's an introvert. I understand that. I am not. I'm an extrovert. I love people.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going through mentally, you know, like, no matter who you are, it's not fuck with you.
Because
you can't be alone that much. Like, no one can be alone that much.
I needed the idle time. I mean, the beginning of it, I was with, like, a pretty not great partner.
Okay.
And so it was kind of very much, you know, I was stuck alone in my house waiting for, like, I don't know, not waiting, but just, like, me looking for my other, like, good things in life just kind of got frowned upon. But, like,
did you get creative with your thoughts? Because thoughts are just completely separate from,
like,
who you
are. Yes and no, but they were just kind of bad thoughts. I don't know. It was a lot of school.
It was a lot of what?
It was a lot of school and then bad thoughts.
No, I mean, while you were alone, you had bad thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because you can get really creative. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I played a lot of guitar. Still do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Did you write music?
I don't really write music. I just kind of, like, noodle for, like, 3 hours.
You don't write any lyrics to anything?
Nope. I don't even play the same thing twice. I think I just kind of play for hours.
Just stuff?
Yeah, just kind of
stuff you know.
No,
just
my fingers just go.
You probably should record that. That's how Alan
yeah.
John got started.
Yeah.
Alan John didn't read music.
I thought some of them,
he heard something and he just played it. And he just made up his own.
I've tried to record, but every time I like think that there's a camera there, I can't do it. I can't even play my guitar like around my voice.
I'm saying literally just like turn on a thing like this. Forget it's even there. Let it go for hours and just play.
Maybe.
Not maybe, just do it.
Maybe.
And what about your boyfriend?
I can't even play guitar on him.
Why?
Like, I have a bass at his, like,
something's
apartment.
Something's blocking
I
you.
Have a guitar at his apartment. I brought my guitar over there. I, like, can't, I don't know, I can't play around anybody. I don't even like playing with my parents.
I have noticed that whenever I've played the guitar at your house, you never pick it up to play, really.
I'll, like, slightly finger-picked with this.
Yeah.
Well, obviously you're blocked by something, because it's like, well, although you said you did a lot of it during the time that you didn't really want to socialize with anybody, so that could
it's
be
it's kind
of
just my thing. I like keeping it to myself. It's like my...
Yeah, but what if it's really good and we can't hear it? And you're keeping it from the world, and you're not going to have the chance to inspire somebody through your music. I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there.
The things I'd love to say, but I'm being recorded.
You can say them, I don't care. No one will well, they probably will, but, you know, fuck them. So, it's okay. I mean, being, you know, going through a dark period in your life, everybody goes through a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
Some never get out of it. You got out of it. And I mean, you
it
told
comes
me,
and goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come and go until
yeah. Yes.
Forever. I mean, like, no matter, everyone thinks it will, like, go away. I'm like,
no.
Your shit's your shit. Just deal with it. You know, you have to go through it, and, like, the people that are in your life hopefully support you. And
mm-hmm.
You seem cool, so.
Just
he's pretty
just day by day.
What about you? What's your dark side?
There definitely is a dark side.
I mean, I
went through it recently.
Dark sides are also cool. I mean, like, but,
yeah.
I
definitely went through a rough spot. I was living out in Montana after I was...
I feel like you've lived everywhere. Anyways, since I've had a conversation with you today, you literally have told me, like, 9 different places.
That's what it's
only lived in, like,
To make it make more sense, I guess, I'll kind of explain it briefly. So after Holland, it was to Canada, to Colorado, back to England for those 5 years, to Brazil, back to Colorado. So after Colorado, I went to college in Montana, and that's where it kind of went south. I wanted to take a gap year, and just wasn't allowed to, and just sort of.
Like
floundered.
They didn't lie, or your parents didn't lie.
Parents.
Oh.
And just kind of floundered. I just didn't really go to class. I skied far too much. Spent far too much time in the outdoors, and kind of. Then got wrapped up in a very.
That's not a bad thing. It's not
no,
like
that
like,
that was fine, but still.
You're gonna tell me something completely different.
It ended up with me getting heavily involved in a very codependent relationship that was very destructive. Kind of came through that, and then packed up my stuff, drove out east to kind of live with family and reset, and I'm feeling a lot better now.
Do you still talk to that person?
No.
Okay.
No, thank
like
God.
Completely cut.
For a while we did, and I just eventually decided that, like, it's... In the back, I was telling Jace about this. In the back of my head for a while, I've always had that thought of, like, maybe if I fix myself, I can revisit that and see if it fix it. But no, I just clean cut eventually.
Well, because regardless, like, your shit is your shit, but that person also has their shit.
Exactly. And so now I'm just kind of focused on the future, you know, day by day. Whatever I can be doing that's best for me right now is what I want to focus on.
I never told anybody. What are you, what is your preferred pronoun?
Yeah, he, him, they, them.
Mm-hmm.
He.
Mm-hmm. And how do you identify? Forgot to put that.
A big queer.
You?
I would identify as straight.
Cool.
But definitely still kind of unaware. I remember growing up for a while, I had really close, friends that I had talked to you about, you know, having a relationship, and we kind of fully fleshed that out. Guys, yes, one of which being, his name was Milo. I'm sure he'll never hear this, but if he was...
Milo's like one of my number one listeners.
But yeah, we were really close, and for a while I really thought that. And I have a sibling that is non-binary, and she came out, they came out, my apologies, around college time. And so I've talked to them plenty about it and kind of trying to flesh out how I feel and how to explain these feelings towards certain, you know, other genders, whether it be, I mean, the other day I was actually with Jason and their friend Carly, and they introduced me to a friend, Malcolm, who I felt very attracted to, and who was transgender.
We were all fucking very attracted to this.
Well, that happens usually with some people. Well,
yeah, and so and that's happened with also just very, very straight men that I've had a very strong attraction to. So I'm still kind of trying to find what that is and how to define that, but having friends like Jace is very helpful for kind of helping to understand it.
Yeah, I mean, the exploratory phase of everyone's life is, do it. I tell everybody, this is what I tell everyone, I said, be safe, of course, don't be stupid, be responsible.
Yeah.
But definitely explore sexually, because you don't really know. And also emotionally, because everyone's so scared of that.
It is, yeah.
I don't want to like get attached to
there's
it.
There's no like good queer sex ed in any sort of anything.
No, they don't have that. I mean,
that's
they
a really,
I know, but
that's,
it like needs to be.
Good
I was
point.
Like talking
absolutely.
In Colorado this week. Well, one great thing about Colorado is on the Denver University campus, they had these balls on like a gumball machine, but they were like, I don't know, just the size of your fist.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a packet of 4 condoms in there, some lube and a safe sex strip.
Great.
And they were 50
yeah.
cents out of a gumball machine.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was fantastic.
They don't do enough of that here. They do a lot of that, actually. Like, in Europe, speaking of Europe,
oh, yeah.
They do that everywhere. They even, like, give... So, like, in Germany, on the drug level, they have, like, clean syringes and everything in these white boxes because they know, like, that'll not necessarily stop people from doing the drug, but it'll slow down the AIDS epidemic.
Oh, yeah.
That was out in Kensington and Philadelphia.
It's great.
Yeah, it's starting to become a thing, yeah, in
yeah.
the U.S. with
clean
houses. We're so
scared to hear about those things. And sexuality, like, just fucking talk about it already. And everyone's like, everyone's coming out as trans, everyone's coming out. I was like, they were always there. We just
yeah.
have platforms now for people to actually do something with it. And like,
and people are like realizing it's in themselves.
Yeah. Because they're like, well, I felt a certain way or this and that, I don't even know. Because I even know people, just gay men, that didn't come up. I mean, they just feel uncomfortable still about it. And like,
mm-hmm.
are really like trapped because of how they grew up or where they grew up in the environment they grew up in. New Jersey. I said this before several times on the podcast, but New Jersey has passed the LGBTQ curriculum for schools, so grade school, 5th through 12th grade. It's mandatory. You can't opt out.
That's
you have to teach it.
Fantastic.
All subjects. All
that's
subjects.
Awesome.
Across the board. Phys ed, health, history, math, you name it. Things will be changed.
That's fantastic.
They're writing the curriculum right now. They're going to pilot in 10 schools for a year just to make sure that, like, these topics are all the topics are being covered, how they were covered, what's the feedback, obviously be responsible about it, and then just go from there. I
yeah.
know, I'm like, and then, it's so funny, because you're like, that will literally transform an entire community of kids, no matter what. That's public schools, not all schools, private schools don't have to do it because of your private, but it's something, you know? But yeah, it's right, the sex education, like, they don't talk about that stuff. I mean, they never talk about that stuff when I went to school. They barely talked about the other stuff when I went to school.
We got taught sex ed in church.
the
you
UUs?
Use?
Yeah, oh,
yeah, I got
doing
taught.
A program called
it's
OWL.
Called OWL.
Yeah,
we started
OWL's great.
In first grade. My dad taught my first grade OWL.
but it's good.
Yeah.
Like, that's if everyone could teach that, and like everyone just go through that program, because... Can you explain to everybody what OWL is?
OWL's called Our Whole Lives. It's sex ed that starts in first grade, fourth grade, and then eighth grade is like the big one that everybody dreads.
They get to
dreads.
Stop that part of the tease just because it'll pick
Sorry.
Up the next.
That's eighth grade's the one everyone dreads because they like... It's like real sex ed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually hella good sex ed, but
mm-hmm.
they treat you like adults and
yeah.
tell you what's up.
Yep. They're like, this is what's down there, and people have different things, and...
it's also a lot of safe sex practice, though.
Yeah,
most
because
a lot about like STDs and like different options for birth control and what
yeah.
to do and where to go and who to talk to and.
1 second, I have to. Have a bit of a headache. Yeah, they talk about it well. That's good. I mean, when everyone's like, you know, when the whole like birth. Girls having kids thing went up and everything. It's because they actually literally stopped talking about safe sex. It's not that you could just scare someone into it, but if you stop talking about it, they're like, well, there's the internet. I go, no one's gonna go on the internet.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah. I learned about this. Like, we got a little bit of it from school, but I didn't learn enough, and now I, like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you the more you talk about something, the less popa or whatever it becomes, or, like, the less... That's my husband, Jason. That's my dog.
Hello. How's it going?
How are you?
Hello.
Here, I brought you these chocolates. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. You don't get chocolates, pup.
The people left. They took out.
They did?
Yeah.
Are they upset?
I don't know. I just texted them. I said, you also forgot your glasses. If they were upset, then I don't know why they'd be upset, because nothing happened.
What did they say?
Nothing.
They don't get chocolates.
I just came home and the pet, everything slipped. Of whatever, put away.
What happened? Well, maybe they thought we weren't going to be here.
No, no, no.
No chocolate.
Do not eat those.
He's being good. Oh, they opened.
Penny.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why it was open.
Penny, you don't get chocolate.
Penny. Come here. Mm-hmm. Right here. Mm-hmm. Go with Daddy.
Here's
no. You're crazy.
No, no,
no.
Hey.
You pick him up. He'll follow him.
So
you
what?
Chocolate?
They didn't tell you
okay.
anything to you?
No. I just messaged him. Penny, go in the room with Dad. Go. Go. No. Go with Daddy. You're still gonna go with him.
You still go with him.
You okay? No.
But doggy.
No, he's not really settled right now, so I'll wait till he gets. You fine? You good? Where's those chocolates?
Everybody has balls.
Okay. Honey. What headphones?
The headphones that I always wear.
I don't know. You can wear mine. Maybe they're on the porch somewhere, or they're in the room, on the top of the dresser. You're talking about sex ed. What are you watching? You're fine. I don't
care. They probably didn't think we were
going to be. Let's take those things personally. I don't know. Penny, go, Daddy. Go. Goodbye,
little
fuck. Go. So, moving on. So, sex ed. Yeah, well, I wish more people would talk about it. Penny, go. Stay in there. Can you shut the door so he stays? Daddy's not done yet, that's why. I'm not gonna go, so Daddy goes in the room. Alright, now go, Daddy, go. Alright. Yeah, hopefully the New Jersey curriculum, like, starts to do all that stuff and really gets it the ball rolling. I wish everyone would teach OWL. OWL's great. But, what are you gonna do? What, so tell everybody, you guys live in Philly. What's it like living, well, you're young, so what's the age to get into those places there?
It's 21, which is frustrating.
That's annoying.
Because I, as I said, I lived in South America for a while, so
I
in
know.
High school I was good clubbing and going to bars.
The whole time, you can drink.
Yeah, and so now that I'm back in the U.S. and I'm 20, I feel like a baby.
Yeah.
But, I mean, luckily there's still other things to do, you know.
When you were over, did you have fun when you were over in...
In Rio?
Yeah.
Yeah, I found, like, I definitely want to move back there.
Yeah?
One of, probably out of everywhere, my favorite place ever.
Oh, cool.
Just the culture there, the people, they were all just so welcoming and friendly. I mean, of course, every country has its, you know, its bad spots, and...
That one specifically
does. That one specifically does. You know, in the city of Rio, there are plenty of favelas, and there's a lot of... A lot of violence, a lot of kind of. It's hard to differentiate between it in that you're at my school would be on one side of a hill, and then right alongside that hill was Jocinho, Rio's biggest favela. So daily we'd hear gunshots and we'd be told to walk along, you know, a certain side of the buildings so that no stray shots would hit any students. And then that night you're in Leblon and everybody is crazy wealthy and they're super nice cars driving by and all just totally safe having dinner at fancy restaurants, but then like two blocks down is Veggie Gal, where once again, if you walked in there, you'd probably get stood up and robbed. And I mean, there is pacification going through the city and the favelas are being cleaned up, but that also is leading to issues with gentrification, where these communities are not being fixed, they're just being taken over. And so some favelas luckily have kind of fought back and have gentrified themselves and just kind of have stuck together as a community, as a very tight-knit community, and they're have kind of driven out those drug lords and those gangs themselves, which has been awesome to see, and entire parts of the city now are like flourishing and are have these awesome, beautiful like art parks and kind of just abandoned buildings that were just completely turned around into beautiful like murals and paintings. So in that sense, it's a beautiful city, but then it has its dark side. But I fell in love with it and the people there.
But the current president is not very good.
Bolsonaro is, yeah. He's very militant.
Yeah.
Some people, some of my friends there, because they were in the U.S. school, that they are kind of the upper class in that country. So because of that, their view is very skewed, and they view it as a good thing.
Yeah.
They want a militant leader. They kind of want to, they want him to lead with a big stick, you know, and kind of really take kind of tough action on all these criminals and stuff. But at the same time, daily you hear about all these hangings and, you know, executions going on, and it sounds, it sounds like a dictatorship, even though it's not. It's just so corrupt, it's functioning as one.
It's confusing with queer rights over there too, because they have the worst killing trends in the world is there.
Really? I never knew that.
Yeah. And not only that, but then they have, like, one of the biggest, like, celebrations of gay celebrations there. And then they just did something really cool with queer rights over there. I don't know. It's confusing. And there's a documentary-style show with, what's her name? Ellen. I can't remember the actress's name. But she's in The Umbrella.
Oh, Ellen Page?
Ellen Page. And they go into, like, the really, like, scary, like, crime-ridden areas and talk about, like, gay people and, like, if someone would say they were gay. The guy's like, a thing over his face. He's like, if someone would say they were gay to you and they came out, what would you do? He's like, I'd chop off their head and kill them.
Wow.
And they're, like, standing there and, like, you see it on the camera and they look so nervous and they're trying to be, like, cool and...
But, yeah, that's...
But, you know, that's what, like, a lot of countries, though, like, they don't... Just are weird too, like, you know.
But that just surprises me, because living there, the culture was so kind of not flamboyant, but so welcoming and friendly.
It is in parts.
Yeah,
that's
and having
confusing about it, because like you do hear good things, but like it has one of the highest, like.
Yeah, and I mean during Carnival, you'd see you know there was a lot of queer pride.
Everything.
And I would never.
Yeah, that's everything. All of it.
Would never have assumed that, but that's terrible.
I used to live in Costa Rica for a while with my mom.
Oh yeah, Costa Rica. I love Costa Rica.
Yeah. I was kind of too young to really pick up on the culture vibe of queerness, but I was young, and I definitely knew, like, it was a bit more of a gender-separated culture.
Hmm.
Like, the males were definitely more masculine, and the females definitely...
Sure.
You know, and I was neither.
Right.
And I hated it.
Right.
But, I don't know, I mean, the place we were living was being very taken over by gringo culture.
Gringo culture, people.
And I went to school at a school that was being taught in English, and it was like founded off the Quakers, you know.
Yeah.
And
that's colonization.
Exactly. So within all that, everyone was like basically like the UUs or the Quakers, and were like chill. And so we knew a few like queer folk there. I knew a couple. Yeah, actually, we knew. My mom was friends with a couple up there. And then my best friend there, his moms were together, so...
Yeah.
There was a lot of that, and it was totally fine, but...
Now, Costa Rica happens to be at least a welcoming country, but...
They have no military.
Yeah, which is also why it's cheap.
And so it's also kind of a little bit more of a peaceful place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's greener. It's green there. They have a green leaf, man. They, like, really try really hard to, like, be very conscious about the environment there.
Yeah.
But they also... It's peaceful, like you said. Like, there's not... It's tourism there. That's like their biggest thing. But a house, you could buy a house there for like $75,000 and the beach is right down the street. And, like,
wow.
It's a protected community. There, people will steal things, but, like, if you're protected, like, sort of.
Okay, yeah, it's gonna... tourism brings that. I've heard about vacations where you have, like, armed guards on the tour group just to kind of protect the,
It's just is what it is. But, you know, and that says something also, because, like, I wouldn't say Costa Rica is the wealthiest country, but if you drive throughout it, you know, they have these little homes that I think are great, but, you know, they don't have any, like, windows and doors, and they really don't. I mean, they have, like, it's all very, like, what do they call the mud huts there? They're built, you know, to survive and to live and to farm and whatever. And I'm not an expert on Costa Rica people, so whoever is listening, I'm not an expert. I just know what I see. But yeah, it's interesting. It's gentrification, but definitely
it's
bringing in white folks.
It's 100% gentrification. Like,
mm-hmm.
Costa Rica, when everyone talks about it, it's just like where they vacation was, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny. Mexico's like that too. People,
in
like,
some ways, but there's a lot of culture that gets taught over. Talked about and like talked about a little bit in school, and people have friends from Mexico,
mm-hmm.
so it's not just like, oh, a place, Costa Rica,
right?
Which is
it is just a place that
tiny little kidney bean.
Well, it just,
it's so small,
it just depends where you are in Mexico. I feel in that if you're in Cozumel or something, it's very tourist based, yeah. And then, I mean, my parents were living there for the past 2 years. I'm in a town called Villahermosa, which is almost kind of dead center of the country, and there it was basically like. There was a lot of gang violence there, but it was mainly like lesser off locals, or you were an expat gringo. So because of that, like, all the company's buildings looked like abandoned buildings, and they had to like drive different routes to work every day to avoid kidnappings and stuff. So there are still some difficult areas.
Yeah.
But then you go to Mexico City, and it's like Cosmopolitan, Manhattan. It's an awesome, flourishing cultural city. That I don't know. It's just really interesting that balance.
Well, and there's
kind of like that also.
There's a lake country in Mexico that everyone goes to. It's all white people that took it over.
Really?
Not took it over, but they really work with the culture there, and it's really nice, and you can retire there. You can rent a beautiful apartment with like a maid, a person, and a person that helps with a pool with $300 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, you can live off like under $1,000 a month there and retire. I'm like, well, I think I should go there. It's on a lake. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, like anywhere in those pockets, like even here, if you go to, Philly's is a good example, a great example of that. There's neighborhoods in Philly. I mean, Philly's a lot better than it used to be, but there is one neighborhood that I used to go to. You don't go to that neighborhood. I went there because there was a mission there, because it's this church I was part of, or friends that were part of a church, and they knew they were living in this, but I mean, you don't, it's just people are living in buildings that don't look like they should ever be living.
My sibling was working with a group there called the Synergy Project, and it helps kind of rescue queer and LGBTQ youth from the streets. And yeah, same thing. They would send me videos of these buildings where I'm like, it's going to collapse any second now. How are they living there?
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, sorry, go ahead.
I spent like a good amount of time kind of around. I think I know what you're talking about.
Basically, across the run of rivers, like you get, you know, you're in a different part. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
completely.
Basically, yeah. I spent like a decent amount of time kind of around those people-ish, and then
like clubs. I don't ever find clubs interesting, but I was kind of raised by like college kids and a little older than that.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'd be like their tiny kid that was just walking around with them. And so I'd be like kind of not in the clubs, but I'd wait, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so
really.
I'd just hang out in the back and wait for them to do their thing, and then. Just hold on to the back of their leg and walk out.
Huh.
And I don't find that's kind of just why I'm over it.
Yeah.
Like, this is dumb.
It's really 18.
Y'all are just doing coke and shooting up in the back, and
yep.
I'm gonna watch y'all.
Clubs are anticlimactic when you finally get to them.
Yeah,
it is.
Not all of them. Some of them are amazing if you like dancing and stuff, but no.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of queer folk also kind of, I think, what you were talking about, you know? That's where a lot of the kids end up and where I kind of found myself.
Yeah, I mean, were those queer kids, were they queer clubs? Gay clubs? No, just clubs.
No, I don't even know what clubs.
You just went?
I just followed the people I was with.
How'd they find you, or how'd you find them?
It's complicated. I spent a lot of time in, like, downtown.
I don't know what that means in Philly. Like.
Just, like, going, so, my parents didn't always pay attention to me.
Uh-huh.
And so by the time I figured I had to take the train downtown, because my school was really close to it.
Yeah.
I could.
the school never cared where I was, and my parents didn't really care where I was, and I could tell people I was different places. So I just found my ways around.
Did you partake in any of those things that your friends did?
They were all older. I was really just kind of like their kid. And so yes and no. It definitely opened the gates of addiction.
Uh-huh.
And therefore I was like, not being like bribed, not bribed into it, but like, you know, they party, I'm around it. And a little child, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, yes and no. I did a lot of Taekwondo also.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of that, and then my Taekwondo world.
Those are very different.
Yeah.
And those are like the two only things in my life.
Right.
And avoiding home and school, so.
When did that start to shift for you?
Kind of when I switched to a different Taekwondo place and came out.
Uh-huh.
And
when did you come out?
When I was 13.
13.
And that kind of just like brought me closer to my mom. I had to tell her.
Yeah.
I had to start being like more home and be like, this is actually me. I have to prove myself. And also Taekwondo, I switched dojangs because being at the other one, I had been a female. I was like, I can't transition here. It's just too much. So I found a mentor there who kind of just like took me on and saw a lot of like that I didn't go to school, that I didn't go home, that he kind of saw where I was. He saw like the condition I'd come back like to the dojang in. And he was trained Mexican Navy. So he would do a lot of like interesting training drills with me and just kind of made me start going to school and being a real person.
Yeah.
And forming real sentences. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, there's always that one, but there's, most people have like at least one or two people like that, that like, you have to have that.
Definitely,
and they're not gonna,
for sure.
They don't fuck around either. They're like, let's engage together.
No, for real. He like was, I'm gonna hog tie your skateboard and a wheel your ass down the hallway. And I was like, damn.
Right? Good. And luckily for you, you had your training already, that you've already started doing all that training, at least mentally. Taekwondo is a discipline, so disciplines
sure.
are always good for people. Especially if they don't have structure.
Mm-hmm.
The structure is so important. That's what people don't get. And like, structure needs to start at the age of 2, and 3 and 4. Like, well, when you're born, but really kick in as you teach preschool. And all it was structure. Not told like structure, but there was a guideline that we followed so that they have structure inside of their day. It was all play, but like, it's so important.
It's
and if you don't have it, you take a little more time or you do things.
There's like a whole thing about like the crucial period and like adaptiveness, developmental baby health. And like,
mm-hmm.
like especially the kids from Romania who were left, I got really lucky. I was maybe one of the last like 50 to 100 kids out of Romania. And the ones that got left just like in cribs with the rest of the orphanages. Or anything really. Just if you're ignored for 3 years, developmentally or any sort of anything, you're
mm-hmm.
a little behind.
Well, you're fucked essentially until someone saves you or you save
and
yourself.
Even then, you're still a little fucked.
Yeah, you will because, like, you're scared. There's, like, there's no trust.
Well, right, but also there's just, like, a thing about developmentally, I think, like, the first, like, 6 months if you're
mm-hmm.
not. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's stages we go through in our lives. I took a course that talks about these stages. There's three particular moments in our lives that develop strong suit, like, thing that you really develop your personality with, that you hot, like, you would, like, that's your shield. And, like, it's when you're about, 8 years old, 7 years old, the first time something happens to you that, like, you're like, what? No, I have to, like, be strong or independent. That's just my dog. And then a teenager, and then your early 20s, something will happen, and it'll trigger something for you, and that's your shield, whatever that is, which develops your identity. And it's a really interesting way to look at your life, because if you could actually just break it down to three of those things, that's what's been getting you to survive or getting you to the next point in your life and how do you actually like deal with it or don't.
Interesting.
Or how do you run away from it? A lot of people run away from it. They do drugs, they become addicts, or they overeat, or they completely cut everybody off in their life and they hide and they run away and they develop a different side to them. But no matter what you do as a vice, whatever that is, you have to either deal with it or you don't. command as I come crashing down.
So I'm trying right now, trying to, because right now, like, being in Philly, I've been here for about 7 or 8 months, and the, kind of what I always call the restless leg syndrome is setting in of just, like, I'm kind of bored, I don't know why I'm here, I need to move. I'm so used to that, and for, for the past 5 years, I've moved every year. So I'm trying to push through that and be like, no, it's not the place that's wrong. It's something in here, something in my brain, something,
something's wrong.
So I need to fit. Well, I know something's wrong. I can tell.
I wouldn't say it's wrong. I would just say it's developed in a way to you that, that you've protected yourself.
Yeah.
It's not wrong. It's just that it's the thing that you've been handed in life. Now how do you deal with it?
Yeah, and so I'm just I'm trying to push through and basically find that, that feeling of like I'm comfortable, I feel at home here, I feel grounded and based, and whatever that is right now, I'm really trying to have that be work and just base myself in that work.
I've been trying to like practice, like I guess practice really is almost the right word, practice a lot of like grounding and like mental awareness, and make yourself one of the little traditions before bed. Like I write every night before bed right now, like even when I like spend nights at like my boyfriend's, I still bring my fucking stuffed animal tiger. Bring it out everywhere just because I've had that sense.
It grounds you.
You know,
it's good though. I mean, you know? Like your pillowcase or your pillow, or your blanket. Like those things are important. I don't care what anybody says. Those things are important.
But for real,
I have my
like
polar bear.
If you have your only little traditions or things that you do every morning or every night, or just things that you tell yourself in your head throughout the day, or like me and my push-ups, you know, it's like if you can keep yourself doing them every day or once a week, that's honestly one of the most drowning things for you.
Think about, not advice I give to people, but like if someone would ask me like in an interview, like what's the one thing you would tell people like to really make a practice of, and I didn't make this up, make your bed.
I was literally just thinking
make
that
make my bed every morning.
Make your bed every morning.
Too weird looking if I don't.
But, well also I'm also a neat freak as you can tell my house.
I'm a bit of a
but other than that, you should make your bed every morning, because you never get in the bed on Nate. You should always like get into the bed, just flip the sheets down and just relax, not worry about it, not be worried about untangling it before you go to bed. Make your bed every morning. And try to have breakfast.
That's a tough one for me.
Don't jump into your day like, I'm just going to wake up and go. Get up at least a half hour before. Chill. Watch a TV show in the morning. I watch Dirty Rock. It's been on watching right now.
It's a good show.
Or do yoga, whatever. I do yoga sometimes. And like, just the different things you need to develop for yourself. For yourself, no one else.
Just thinking to wake up and hit the bong is what everybody around me does.
That's what I did for a while, and I still do it some mornings. It's tough.
You can do that too.
I wake up, do 40 push-ups, hit the bong, take a shower.
Oh, I mean, you can literally do what you want.
It's your own regimen, man. Make it your own regimen.
As long as it's not hurting anybody.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
Sometimes it's shower first.
I mean, some people, I mean, there's lots of things people.
No, I'm bad. I definitely like am the type to wake up and like get in the car out of bed.
Yeah.
Like I'm so bad. I sleep so poorly that when I wake up, I literally get up and then I sleep past my alarm a little bit.
Do you write things down before you go to bed?
No.
That's another thing too. Like I have like 900 journals, and like I realized how important it was in my life to like just keep writing my thoughts on the paper. And I actually took it from my mom because she's been doing that her whole life.
Okay.
And I've been doing it since fifth grade.
It's therapeutic.
Yeah. Even if it's bullshit. Day, you know what I mean? Especially because you're going through your particular, like, feelings for people, and, like, I mean, because you gotta, like, you have to try those feelings.
Yeah.
Safely.
Safely.
I'm promoting safe everything. Safe sex, everyone.
Because
you don't know.
Don't be silly, we're at that well.
That, I mean, yeah, exactly. It's a great slogan.
A Doritos bag.
Sorry.
A what? That's a dumb joke.
What was the joke?
My friends used to always make just dumb jokes about, like, if you have nothing, you use a chipped bag.
Ew.
That's gross.
Yeah.
That's all the grease and nastiness that's in there. I mean,
it'd be awful.
But, well, people use, like, fruit, too. It's like, whatever.
Fruit?
Really?
Yeah, there's a whole, like, culture.
Okay, I've heard
watermelon,
bananas.
Watermelon, what?
I've heard bananas.
Bananas.
People like jack off into the banana peel.
Oh, well, I mean, sure. Why not?
No, I meant like use the bag as a condom.
Yeah, I know.
Not just jack off into the chip bag. which is even worse to think about. So
all of that.
Again, I'm sorry I even mentioned it. My brain is bad at keeping things in it. It just kind of.
Well, you said let it all out. It's fine, even if it's a chip bag for a condom. Doritos, so specific.
There was
very specific.
The weekend that was at in the dorm that had like white paint splattered on it, and we called it the cum chair.
Yeah.
And then it was the ejaculation station. And then we put it right outside the bathroom door. And if you were waiting for the bathroom, you had to sit on the cum chair.
Wow. Charming.
Okay. Was it really a cum chair?
We don't know. It was just a bit too thick looking to really be.
Uh-huh.
Unless, like, someone had it all in the same spot the exact same time.
No.
Like, every time. But we think it was just, like, some light paint.
Let's just go with paint.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they didn't use the Dorito bag.
Conversation took a turn there.
It's okay.
No, it's fine.
Want to hear.
Yeah.
Listen, when I was a kid, I would be very creative, just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole, like, there's parts of my diary. I did a thing. I used to call my diary Jack, like, what's up, Jack? And there's a whole, like, section of it, like, a good year or two, where it's just, like, all about sex and, like, sex, girls, boys, girls, boys, girls, boys. And, and I did a show about it. Like, I performed it. I read it in my journal in front of everybody. It was really... It's really funny. But there's, like... These experiences are, like, heightened by me. Like, my fantasy. Like, how I experienced it. Not necessarily how that person experienced it, of course. Like, life in general.
Okay.
And, it's just all sex. Okay. Things I came up with. Clever ways I came up with to, like, flirt with this one person that I was totally... He's straight, but I was totally attracted to him. Like, I was, like, in love with this guy.
Mm.
I know I was. Because I could not stop thinking about him. I tried different things. See, the closest I got, we got really, 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 really drunk. We did kiss, I think, and I blacked out. I think I can remember it happening. I felt it. I can still see it. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah.
But getting really, really drunk and doing it is stupid. Like, it's just dumb. It's like anyone's inhibitions are way down.
Yeah.
Luckily, that's why I don't like to drink a lot. I've had a lot of alcoholism in my family.
Me too.
So that's why I choose pot as my main vice.
Mm-hmm. Pot's okay. I mean, it's fine, you know.
I just know I could be an addict very easily. I know it's, like, in me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there in little things already, and I've taken myself out of that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that if I went down it, I wouldn't stop.
Yeah. Well, good.
What really worries me is hallucinogens, honestly. That's the one thing that I'd worried I'd have issues with hallucinogens. Like, alcohol, I've never had a huge addiction to, and even pot, like, I can leave it for a couple weeks or a month if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I have, like, used a hallucinogen, right afterwards, I'm like, well, I want to experience that again.
Yeah.
And I'm always so functional on it that I could see myself, like, going to work while tripping, which I would never want to do.
I've
purposely, like, really been very careful with that and tried to keep it.
I'm a control freak,
10
so
foot.
I don't do those drugs.
Acid knocks me on my ass for, like, the next 3 days.
Sure.
Really?
It's acid.
Yeah. Acid knocks me on my ass for the next 3 days. I got drugged with, like, some bad shit once.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, a friend gave me a blunt once. Turned out it was K2.
Oh, you told...
Yeah. I tripped balls in the hospital. The ambulance showed up at school, and then I got kicked out of high school. But I didn't know it was a K2 blunt. He just passed it to me and was like, here. And I was like, oh, shit, I took 2 hits and was done. And we were let off the woods, out off campus.
You should probably write a book. Call it 13. And then just start writing it. And tell you all your stories. You can even make up a different name. Whatever you want. That would be an interesting book.
Because
you're only 18. And what you're talking about right now is what, like, a 35-year-old would talk about. Because they did it when they were, like, in their 20s.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Their middle 20s or whatever it is.
But
it's just fascinating. I mean, I find it fascinating.
One thing,
I also think it's great that you're smart enough to know that, like...
But, like, after that, I couldn't even smoke pot for, like, 6 months. Because every time I'd, like...
Yeah,
there was something about it, just, like, give me a panic attack.
Yeah,
trip.
Definitely.
I had, like, trip
yeah, the first
panic attack.
Trip, like,
oh.
Yeah,
and so, yeah, I did. I dropped once with my boyfriend when I first met him, so, like, a year ago.
Okay.
And a little over a year ago. And it was fine. I dropped a little bit, but it was, like, a very existential tear instead of a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, like, fucked up for the next 3 days, but it wasn't, like, a physical rock the way other things were. I've dropped, like, 5 times in my life.
Just for me, it doesn't do that much. It kind of just makes me think about the world differently.
Same.
But not that much. So that's why, like, it worries me. Is it, like, it just feels like I'm, like, had a cup of coffee, but it made me think a little different. Like the other day, I was visiting an old exchange student I had from Nice, and I was in New York, and he was busy, so I was just like, well, I'm bored, I have nothing to do and no money, so how can I spend some time in New York? And my friend had given me a tab of acid, so I just went on my own little adventure by myself, which I had never done before, and
you
it actually
so,
was
like,
it was amazing. It was an amazing experience, and it really helped me heal from some of my kind of trauma from the past year. In that it was just pouring rain, and I just kind of just walked through from like about Hell's Kitchen to the bottom tip of New York. Just walked all the way down there, and just kind of like that rain almost felt. It was like it was kind of just like rinsing off these bad memories and kind of bad vibes. And it was amazing. But because of that, it worries me. So I've been kind of cautious to like only once a year, pretty much, or less than that, because there's too much knowledge to be gained there. I'm worried about it.
I want to drop again. The first time the second time I dropped, I painted it in the back of this journal and wrote so many great notes. I loved it. And then my girlfriend at the time made me fucking paint over it. And this was like, it sounded kind of like a very similar situation that you were talking about with your partner. And it was just not, you know? And
why'd they make you paint over it?
She didn't like that it was my journal that we were sharing.
You were sharing a journal?
It was like, so we had these two sketchbooks. And we went to two different schools, and so we'd bring our sketchbooks to school, and we'd just draw and, like, kind of just write to each other and, like, have our own, like, thoughts and journals, and then we'd switch them at the end of the week.
Interesting.
And I just grabbed the closest thing to me at that point and started drawing and writing, and I copied them before I had to paint over it. So I still have the pages. But they were really cool, and they were so full of great ideas. And then
yeah.
It's gone.
Are you copying?
I copied it.
And the memory is still there.
It was a really great, like, thing to just do alone.
Yeah.
But I do want to draw, like, with good people around me. Because every time I've been around people, it's been bad people. So, like, you and Carly would be dope to do something like that. But,
yeah.
But not for a while.
Well, I'm not just talking about anything on this.
This is going everywhere. Yeah, geez, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. This is something I'm gonna start to do. So this is a good experiment.
I have been noticing. It does feel like there's a resurgence of like kind of like the beatnik or like the head generation kind of coming back. In that, I know I have so many like friends. Like, wherever I've moved, I have kind of just met some people where I'm like, wow, like, you're exactly like my friends back here, and you have the same open minded and generous and kind heart.
There's a lot.
And
of
I feel like there is like a
resurgence
of that.
Well, that generation that's coming up specifically your guys is like they're like because they see really stupid things of what people have done, currently too right now.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck that. That's not how we are. Why are you trying to answer? That's why I made the podcast. I'm like, why are you literally trying to say that's what we're doing?
Exactly.
We're not doing that.
Ever heard of the term indigo children?
Especially in the queer community, huh?
Have you ever heard of the term indigo children?
I think so. Explain.
I don't know how.
It's
like a generational thing. Yeah, Google's going to tell you it's some mystic shit.
Some
okay.
I don't understand indigo children either.
Who's gonna tell you some mystic
I had
shit.
A friend named Indigo, and then she tried to explain this to me, but I was not in the right
it's
state
of mind.
It's
just another way of generation of kids. Indigo children. Oh. According to pseudoscientific new age concept, are children who are believed to possess special, unusual, and sometimes supernatural traits or abilities. That's
the mystic shit. And it's just people that were kind of born...
Based on a novel.
Based on a novel, huh?
Yeah, based on a concept, developed in the 1970s by Nancy Ann, whatever her last name is. Yeah, it doesn't say.
I don't know, it's this whole like, thing that people are like, yeah, this generation is full of indigo children. And that's like,
yeah,
why we're this way.
I've heard that once.
I've been told by like so many old folk that I'm an indigo child.
What
I'm
does
just
it mean,
like, hey.
Like you're...
I was also told by gypsies that I was an old soul, and like, I appreciate that, but...
Yeah, old souls are great, because like, you can get better off... Get by
like when my mom adopted me, she said we went to this gypsy festival and that like two of the old ladies came up to her and was like, your child is like got them eyes, and my mom was like, oh.
She doesn't even mean gypsy and
Roma. So
because
the Romanian culture is very split, it's like people that look kind of more like you.
Okay.
And then Romanian culture, like the gypsy gang,
they don't like Italians either.
No, but they kind of got literally forced underground. There's a whole kind of...
A gypsy culture?
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, I know. If you go to Paris, like, people, like, I witnessed it, like, in front of Notre Dame, there's all the gypsies there. The other Parisian people will yell at them, like, get out of here! Well, in French, though. Like, get out of here! And I'm like, I think it's cool. There's, like, a whole gypsy community. Like, you're pulling in on the train, and it's like, it would be, like, my neighborhood, like, the size of this neighborhood, all tents.
I've thought about, like, trying to move into a community like
no.
that.
No.
I want a van.
No, no. Well, in a trailer. It'd be too dirty. It'd be gross.
I want a van.
Huh?
I want a van.
A van?
Just leave.
That's fine, but you still, you know, it's still you, even though
yeah.
you're...
That's fine.
Have you ever listened to Gypsy Jazz? It's really good music. You should look up Django Reinhardt sometime.
All right. Yeah, well, yeah, gypsies, I think they're cool. But there's a whole documentary, another one. Gypsies that are in, like, the UK.
Oh.
It's, like, a whole festival and, like, a whole thing about it.
Funny story, when I was a kid growing up, we lived, like, we were renting a house. It was, like, kind of like the coach. It was the old, like, horse stable. It was turned into a house. It's called the coach house. And it was, and then the actual manor house was like, over there on the property. And so because of that, there was this huge, like, garden and, like, you know, multiple acre property around that manor house that our landlords owned. And for a while when I was a kid, I can't remember how long, a year or two, there was a whole community of gypsies living there. And there was, I can't remember how it was dealt with, but there was a, I remember the landlords cussing at them and stuff, and, like, people throwing rocks at the manor house and stuff.
It's mad.
Crazy,
like,
things.
I mean, for granted, they don't have the greatest reputation for, like, you know, stealing and all that stuff and begging. But
I mean, we never had any issues with them. I never really saw them.
I was like, if you, it's interesting, because if you go to India, they have a lot of, like, homeless people or people that send their kids out with babies to get money, and they'll, like, touch you, they'll, like, tap your hand, and I don't like that, but they do that anyways. But there's a whole, there's whole communities. No one gets mad at them there, though. I mean, I didn't see anybody get mad at them. And maybe they do. Maybe they spit at them and throw rocks, but I didn't see that. But there's a lot of them. There is so many of those people.
Wow.
Like, so many. Because they have these, you know, they're, they have their, the ghettos, or not the, I'm not calling ghettos, what they're called. Anyways, 10 houses, and, they're everywhere. But they're not necessarily, they're not unhappy people, they just live there.
Yeah.
The thing is, they don't have running water or anything like that, but, anyways, I don't know why we're talking about that, but gypsies. So, why are we talking about gypsies? Indigo.
We're just, we're going off tangent, off tangent, off tangent.
Yeah,
well, interesting, though.
Interesting stuff. So, what do you do for the stuff, like, because you guys are young, well, what do you do for, like, queer stuff in Philly, because you're only 18, like, what is, do you go to the community center or anything like that?
So we have the Mazzoni Center, which is, like, an LGBT health clinic.
Okay.
Also an HIV clinic, and it's, like, a pretty big doctor's office at this point. They have, like, therapy, they work with Einstein, they supply my hormones, that's where I went to get my drains out, for top surgery. I didn't have surgery with them at all. I went back because I had drains in my chest after.
What is that? Tell them.
After top surgery, depending on your surgeon and what type of surgery you get, they put two tubes in the side of your chest that look like blood grenades, and all the red liquid falls out. And then you empty them in the toilet, and it smells real awful. But they're stuck in there for a week, and then your doctor pulls them out of your chest.
Does it hurt?
No, because you don't have any feeling.
Do you have any feeling anymore?
Nope.
It's different for everybody, though, right?
Yes and no. So, I was able to get my nipple pierced and not feel it.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. I sometimes have, like, a little bit of temperature sensation if I, like, touch. When I get itchy, I literally have to, like, hit myself.
Really?
Just like, ah. Like, what are you doing? I just, like,
I have noticed
beat myself.
That. It's
yeah.
funny, yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
But I'm beating myself.
Now I know
why. I'm itchy.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's different for, I've heard different stories of, like, no, I totally have feeling, or no, I don't.
Yeah, some guys who get keyhole, they tend to have more feeling, because I did double incision, and, like, pretty fucking large double incision, it, everything got cut.
Did insurance cover some of it?
Is it complicated? I don't remember everything. I think we kind of wrote it off as something else.
Oh, can we say that?
So can we say that? Can we say that? I have two slip discs. I think it might have gotten, like, somehow put in as back pain, and,
cool.
Because I was, like, not 18 or whatever, I don't know. I mean, it was under a surgeon who did top surgery for males.
But I think insurance, like, covered a little bit of it because we wrote it off to something else.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's interesting. I didn't know.
Shenanigans. Oh, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia does top surgery.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Come on, doggy!
Who's back?
I love you!
Are you going to go further?
No. I don't think so. I'm pretty happy with...
Cool. It's different for everybody.
Not, I wouldn't say happy, but there's no third option, so I mean, fuck it. Why would I change it?
There isn't a third option. There's really, like, only two, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like you can try them out and figure it out either. So.
No, you can. You either go one or the other.
There ain't no trying anything.
No.
I mean, a little bit, but...
Yeah. I've looked it up because I'm just curious about it.
People like really good prosthetics.
Some of them...
Really
yes.
good prosthetics.
This part of it, though, the arm, the one they take the...
Oh, I meant plastic prosthetics. Take things, you know, those type of packing. But the arms, they're...
That's... Ugh. I just can't. You've seen that.
No, I haven't.
I've seen
some of
the
surgery, like the animated videos of it.
Yeah.
Like in school, actually, we actually had that.
Oh.
We had education for that.
Really?
I was in Brazil, so it was not the U.S., but it was a U.S.
Figures.
School. It was a U.S. school.
U.S.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, that America? Stupid. No, I've looked it up, because I was just curious about it, and there's one person online that I felt like I've watched. They're great. Like, they show you the whole thing. Like, pull their
face
down and show you, like, that, like... It just showed you the whole entire process. They were successful. Some
it's
not.
Some people, it's such an unpredictable surgery, and you like have to like pump up your balls with your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, to pump like Jordanaires.
There's
really?
So many different ways of having
the
this.
Pump.
Yeah.
Oh.
Literally the same thing. I mean, it's not the same thing. Don't. I didn't mean that, people. You hungry?
Look at that face.
You hungry?
Okay. It's such a tiny wiggle.
Let's get food first, and then we'll come to you.
The trophy's good.
You want the one?
Try to do.
Ugh. Yeah, I was just curious. Some people, you know. Like you said, it's either one or the other. There's no going back.
Yeah.
What's the other one called? There's two names. One that begins with an M, one that begins with a P. I can't say the other. I don't know what the name is. It's
Metaplasty.
Metaplasty.
Okay.
And then the other one where you get like a penis. Yeah. But then people choose to do other things too. They're like, they don't have to have it.
You don't have to have like balls. You can leave it open. You don't have to have.
Right. Because you get the sensations. You get sensations though.
It's complicated. I think you can do it a lot of different ways, and I don't know all of it. I don't care too much.
Right.
Yeah.
Some people do, some people don't. Yeah, like, I know some people that, M to F. So, that's actually easier, isn't it? Because you just,
That's what they showed in school.
Male to female?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You take it,
and you go.
There's a South Park episode about that.
Really?
Last night, Jared and I was sitting on the couch. It started flashing, so, animated version, it was giving one of the teachers bottom surgery, and it kept flashing into, like, pictures of, real fucking bottom surgery.
What?
It was, like, pictures of some dude just sticking their hand in a bloody, you know, but it was just, and I was like, dude, why can this be on TV? And Jared's like, it's educational.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they definitely. So.
I mean, South Park goes there though. They will go through every topic, and they don't even care.
Oh, I know.
Like, you ain't canceling me. We've been on for decades.
Like, you can't cancel me.
Really? That's amazing. Wow. Good. Go South Park. I love South Park.
Mm-hmm. South Park.
My parents
so
love
good.
South Park for some reason.
It's so funny though.
It's great.
Penny.
The Book of Mormon. Those guys.
I've seen that like five
so
times.
So funny.
Like
laugh out loud.
And also touching, too. Like, oddly touching for a
but
comedy.
But, like, in the middle of the show, you know, the guy gets shot in the head,
and then the next minute
you're laughing, and you're
And then there's guys with crazy, like 12-inch,
mm-hmm.
like, strap-ons doing helicopters
and
kissing frogs and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, we have the same hand towels.
Great.
Yup.
Good to know. So if I ever go to your place, I'll be like, look, those hand towels.
I definitely stole them.
Where'd you steal them? From a store?
No, from you.
Oh.
Right now. Yeah.
She's taking them home. You should
probably
leave them because you
just
broke my fence.
Didn't want...
So.
Jeez.
So there's that. Just wanted to leave your stamp on this place.
Do you want like $20 for a fence?
No, I do not. But for the record, everyone, Jace broke my fence.
Guys, I broke his fence.
Literally ran over in the car. We could have stopped him. We didn't.
But you didn't.
Just stood there and watched.
You guys literally just watched me.
We
literally.
Did. Well, it wasn't like it was like too fast. We were like.
We saw you getting close, but I thought you were just gonna back up straight,
me
and it
too.
Happened
like,
too
quick.
I'll pull
up, and then I'll back up again.
See,
yeah.
I was going to go out, and then I saw the tip of the other car, and so I was like, okay, we're just gonna turn a little bit and just go out that way. But then there was a fence.
Yeah.
And now there's a dog.
Go get him. Yo, go get him. Okay.
And. What an odd way to end a podcast, but that was that. It was a great conversation. I hope you enjoyed it on your long car ride or in your room or whatever you're doing, listening to QT, Queer Teen Podcast, showcasing and encouraging the next generation of queer youth from across the world to stand up for what's right. And remember, listen, learn, love.